lesson this evening comes from Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And it's in this chapter that we have the account of the betrayal and the arrest of Jesus just prior to his crucifixion. And when Jesus was betrayed by Judas, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, speaking with his disciples that were there with him. If you look at Matthew 26, verses 47 through 50, we'll read those verses. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. If we were to read on into that chapter, we'd see that Peter tried to help Jesus. He drew a sword and cut the ear of Malchus off. Malchus was a high priest was a servant of the high priest. And over in Luke's account of this same event, Luke tells us that Jesus healed the ear of Malchus. Jesus went on and he rebuked Peter for what he did and told him to put away his sword. Further down in verses 53 and 54 there, here Jesus is speaking, and he says, "Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled if must happen this, thus?" So Jesus is saying to Peter, "I don't need your help. You know, if I wanted to be rescued from this mob, I could call legions of angels, and they'd come rescue me. But in order for the scriptures to be fulfilled, this deed has to be done." And after Jesus was arrested, the disciples that were with him fled. And we read that in verse 56 of this chapter. And all of them fled, but two of them changed their minds. And they decided to follow. Peter and one other. The other one, if we look over in John 18:15, that's where it's revealed that another disciple went along. Peter, however, decided that he was going to follow Jesus from a distance. Matthew 26 and verse 58. And it says there, "But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end." You know, of all the disciples that followed Jesus, Peter would probably be the one whom we would least expect to follow from a distance. So maybe looking at it a little different than what we think. But we know Peter had been with Jesus for a long time. He was one of the first disciples that the Lord chose. And Peter had left everything to follow Jesus. We read of that in Luke 5, verse 10 and 11. And of course, Peter had boldly confessed Christ to be the Son of God. You know, we're all familiar with this confession in Matthew 16, 13 through 17. And, you know, Peter was given the keys to the kingdom because of his confession. But as fervent as Peter was, when Jesus was arrested, he decided to follow at a distance. Matthew even tells us why he followed. Matthew 26 and 58, which we just read, said Peter followed to see the end. You know, it seems possible that maybe it was fear and not loyalty that motivated Peter to follow back at a distance. When the high priest convicted Jesus to death, you know, Peter tried to lose himself in the crowd and denied knowing Jesus. And further into Matthew 26, 69 through 74, we read that. It says, "Now Peter said outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, 'You were with Jesus of Galilee.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you're saying.' And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, 'This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth.' But again he denied with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, 'Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you.' Then he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. Immediately, the rooster crowed. So, Peter denied the Lord three times, just as Jesus foretold that he would do. But to Peter's credit, in the next verse, he repented of his wrongdoing with bitter weeping. So, we know that Peter, to be a faithful apostle of Christ, there's no doubt. In fact, in the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts, primarily revolves around Peter. Peter was one of the primary characters in the first 12 chapters. But even though Peter was an apostle, he wasn't infallible. On another occasion, Peter decided to follow what I call a safe distance, once again, or a little bit away from the crowd. The Apostle Paul had to openly rebuke Peter in Galatians 2, verses 11 through 13. We'll turn to that and read those verses. Galatians 2, 11 through 13. And it says, Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with the hypocrisy. So it seems that Peter gave way to peer pressure. He was fine associating with the Gentiles as long as there were no fellow Jews around. But when other Jews arrived, Peter decided he would withdraw himself. And in verse 14 of that chapter, Paul went on to say, he says, But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles, and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? So what are some of the lessons that we can learn here from this, from Peter's mistakes? Well, one is we learn that no one's ever so strong in his faith as to be above temptation. And like that peer pressure affects a lot of, we think of peer pressure affecting kids a lot, but it also affects adults just as much. So, we're never above temptation. When we think we're so strong and beyond temptation, that's when we're going to fall. That's when we're going to fail. Over in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He says, Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. But what's Paul telling us? Again, he's saying, as long as we live, we're going to face temptation. And we know we're going to be susceptible to that temptation. It's always going to be there. So we always have to be on guard against it. And sometimes we, may decide that we're going to follow at a safe distance by concealing our identity with Christ. I'm not anybody here, but it happens. And just as Peter did. Peter concealed his identity. I think there's a lot of reasons why we do that. It could be that we fear harm. There's a lot of places in the world that if we confess Christ, we're going to lose our head. But I think more often than not, it's for selfish reasons. Some do it for financial gain. Some do it for acceptance into their little cliques, or others do it for popularity. There's any number of reasons that people do it, but they're self-serving reasons. Paul in 2 Timothy 2:12 wrote, If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. A Christian doesn't just suddenly wake up one day and decide to be unfaithful. We get that way because at some point in the past, we start to follow from behind. We start to have that safe distance. Over in John chapter 3, we're introduced to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a ruler of the Jews, and he was a member of the Sanhedrin court. And you know, Nicodemus recognized that no one could do the works that Jesus had done lest he be from God. But we see, what do we see? We see Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night. That's recorded in John 7 and 50. It sort of appears he wanted to come in secret as well. And we read that Nicodemus assisted a man named Joseph of Arimathea in the burial of Jesus. Nicodemus had provided a mixture of myrrh and aloe. This is recorded in John 19:39. This Joseph that we're speaking of was a good and he was a righteous man, and he had not consented to the crucifixion of Christ. Luke 23:51. But he too was a disciple in secret. In John 19 and verse 38, we read there, "After this," speaking of the crucifixion, "Joseph Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus." So the question, you know, was Joseph and Nicodemus, were they faithful or were they not faithful? Yeah, maybe they were both. You know, at first they were either ashamed of Christ or they were fearful of others, what others might do to them or what others might think of them. But after the death of Christ on the cross, they had a change of heart. They decided they were no longer going to be a disciple in secret. They were not going to follow at a safe distance anymore. You know, even before the crucifixion of Christ, there were a lot of people that believed that Jesus was the Son of God. But they remained far off. Stand back. Over in John chapter 2, I'm sorry, John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. We read there, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." So Matthew chapter 8, there's the occasion, and Steve spoke of Jesus coming to Peter's house. And there he found Peter's mother-in-law ill. She had a fever. Jesus touched her, and the fever left. She arose, and she served him. And then afterwards, there were many other that were brought to Jesus that were demon-possessed. And Jesus cast out the demons that were in them. And of course, you might think, by this time, it's gotten a lot of attention. People have gathered around. In Matthew 8, verses 19 and 22, there's a couple of guys that approach Jesus there. Matthew 8, 19 through 22. It says, "Then a certain scribe came and said to him, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then another of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my Father.' But Jesus said to him, 'Follow me, and let the dead bury their own dead.'" And one of the men decided he would follow Jesus, but what did he want to do first? He wanted to go and bury his Father. And Jesus tells him, "Follow me. Let the dead bury the dead." And at first, we might think this sounds a little harsh. But what Jesus was trying to do was teach the man that you've got to set your priorities. with them and with us, Christ has got to be first in everything, even before family. If we put anything ahead of Christ, then we're following from afar. We're following from a distance. So how does this apply to us today? Do we ever put anything ahead of Christ in our lives? I think so, probably. It's sad, but we do at times. And if we look at the world in general, that's not the exception. That's the rule. The world comes first. But I guess in reality, there's probably two kinds of Christians in the church. There's one class or one kind that is always faithful. They always love to do God's work. They're ready to help in any way that they can. And then there's the class that sort of follow from a distance. Yep. It's a decision you have to make. These are the Christians that attend most of the time, but they're not really motivated or moved by the word. You know, they sometimes neglect their study during the week. They are pretty content to let everybody else do the work. And usually they're the first to murmur or complain about the way things are going. And it's not just the ones that sit in the pews. Now, there are preachers in the church that want to follow from afar. It used to be that anytime you went into the Church of Christ, you were going to hear a scripture-filled sermon. It's not always true anymore. Time has come when some preachers just want to tickle the ears of the audience. They preach to them what they want to hear. You know, Paul warned Timothy of this in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. And it reads there, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers," or you could say preachers, "and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." What Paul's saying, in other words, they're going to find preachers that are willing to preach what they want to hear, what we would have heard as a so-called feel-good sermon. And these preachers, they have no desire to preach a sound biblical sermon. They're wanting to tickle the ears of their audience. So where do we fit in there? Now, are we faithful? Are we in the first class? Are we the faithful Christians that put Christ first in our lives? Or do we try to serve Him from, maybe back a little bit or a little further? At what we consider maybe a safe distance. I think Jesus made it clear how He feels about it in Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16. He said there, "I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were hot or cold. So then, because you're lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." I think we can relate to this. I can relate to it. I know a warm cup of coffee is not something I want. If it's warm, I don't want it. It needs to be hot. So we can't be lukewarm and be pleasing to God. It'd be better that we were cold than we were lukewarm. So if we're going to be disciples of Christ, it should be obvious. Now, those that we come in contact with, there shouldn't be a doubt in their mind that there's something different about us, something that sets us apart from the rest of the world. That's our lesson tonight. We ask if there's anyone in the audience.